Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Kime Report wherever you get your podcast. You're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media. That's A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can always read my work on ESPN.com, especially this week. On ESPN, we're going to have free agent trackers the entire week. So if you want to know the thoughts on signings all over the place and who's doing what and what the opinion of those signings are, go to ESPN.com. And so you can learn about the teams other than the Washington Commanders. All right. Today, I'm joined by former Washington Redskins general manager, Charlie Casserly. And I wanted to bring him on before free agency because it's going to be kind of a hectic week. So I'm going to run this one out on Sunday morning, Saturday night, just because I think it's good in terms of roster building, his thoughts on Josh Harris, Dan Quinn, and just some free agent lessons that he learned from the past that he thinks still applies to now. And then also taking a look at the draft. What things would he look for in a quarterback when looking at the draft? Just talking a little bit about Jaden Daniels, asked him just how he would process the Daniels. He loves to run, will get hit, but can you get him out of that? And he gave a good answer for that. So anyways, stay tuned for that. Play that in 1 minute. And also, again, I'm going to have a lot of free agency updates. I will be doing a live stream show Wednesday night. Stay kind of tune in, or I'll let you know what time that's going to be, probably around 8 o'clock, most likely, just to do a quick wrap up of the first day. And shoot, by the time when I do it, they might be signing guys still at that time or after that time. I do think they're going to be active to a degree. I don't think they're going to be crazy spenders. I don't, kind of warned by people there, like, don't expect these big splash signings. Adam Peters is more of a second wave of free agency type guy, but that doesn't mean they're not going to be active because they do have a lot of holes to fill. And there will be some interesting guys early on that I think they may try to take care of. So we'll do a live stream show Wednesday night and then go from there. May have one on Thursday as well. I will be doing podcasts throughout the week, just kind of wrapping up, looking ahead. There may be quick ones, but they will be done. So there you go. That's it for me. So here's my conversation with former Washington Redskins general manager, Charlie Casserly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, zip lining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kine. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kine. Charlie, I greatly appreciate you joining me. You know I always appreciate your insight and have enjoyed talking to you over the years. So I did want to start off with Josh Harris, new owner. I'm curious, you know, he's been around now for about eight months. What has been your take on him as an owner? And I know it's just starting, but and him as an owner in general, what he's done and what you think of him overall.
Well, let me say this. I don't know him and I haven't talked to him, but I do know somebody that knows him very well. In fact, two people that know him well. And they both thought it was a good hire, okay, by the league. An experienced owner, to say the least, but I thought he's a good person. He wants to win. He wants to do right by the fans, and that he will be the right man at the right time for the job. Now, I think he's going to have to learn the league. What do I mean by that? Got to learn who to trust, who not to trust. That takes some time. But if you look at the things, I mean, he attacked the stadium, and he's obviously very quiet what he does. So his plans on trying to get a stadium built, which was a 10-year odyssey for Jack Kent Cook. Yeah. So let's not expect this to happen soon. But he knows how to do that part of it. And he's doing it quietly, which is good. He's trying to improve the present stadium. They're going to play there. So he's doing the right thing there. If you look at it from the outside in, he brought in Rick Spielman, which I thought was an excellent move. Rick is an experienced general manager. He knows the league. He knows who to call. He knows who to trust. I thought that was a good move there. You could see that from the outside in, he's involved in some things. He's a listener in others. He goes to the combine. He sits in on the quarterback meetings. He's going to let other people make the decision, but he's doing the thing he should do. I don't think there's anything wrong with an owner going to do that. If I owned a team, I'd do that, right? So he's learning his people. He's learning the players. I'm sure he'll be active in free agency as far as spending the money. So I think I've got to give him an A so far. But again, it goes back to people I know him, but different parts of his career give him high marks, and I value their judgment.
So you were around, obviously, when there was an ownership change the first time. You've been around in a building, helping build an expansion franchise. What is the key to putting together? Because they have to put together a new organization now, essentially. What's the key to getting it right? How do you go about building a good franchise again?
Well, it starts with the owner. And the owner, it's interesting. I work for a veteran owner and a rookie owner. Okay, two rookie owners with a little bit I was with Dan Snyder. There's a huge difference between the two of them. Jack Kent Cook, along with his son, John Kent Cook, they've been there forever, it seemed, okay? So they understood the ups and downs, okay? It's a simple point. Jack Kent Cook listened to the head coach, the general manager, and nobody else, okay? And then he listened to his son off on the side, not with us in the room, okay? So that's it. Okay. You get into other situations, they're listening to anybody and everybody. Okay. That becomes a problem. They don't know who to listen to. They don't know what the agendas of people are. Jack Kent Cook always gave us, and John Kent Cook always gave us the resources to win. Now, it wasn't a blank check. I can tell you that. There was some knockdown, drag out battles. But what they were doing is testing you. They weren't stopping you. They were testing you. Okay. Do you really believe this? Okay. Do you really think you got to do this? You always won the argument. Okay, but you better be right with the argument. So that's fine. We understood that. Okay. So you have those things. So it starts with ownership. Then the head coach. It's the single most important hire. You know, I work for two Hall of Fame head coaches. That's rare. George Allen at the end of his career in Washington, Joe Gibbs through his entire career. Okay. So you have a great coach. And what makes a great coach? Well, the first thing is he's smart enough to hire a great staff. If you look at the head staffs of George Allen and Joe Gibbs, they're great staffs, okay? So you start with ownership giving you the things you need, and time and patience is one of them. You got a great coach, okay? We can talk about what makes a great coach. And then you bring in the personnel people, okay, that work with the head coach, and we can talk about that, getting the players to fit the system to win. So it's all of the above things that you have to have in place. Okay. So to me, that's what makes a winning organization.
And you talk about what makes a great head coach. And I was going to ask you about Joe Gibbs, because it's a guy who's a Hall of Famer in two sports, and being around right. him, part of my take on him just being around the second time is Joe always kind of undersold how smart he was and wasn't afraid to surround himself with really good coaches.
No question about it. When he went in to meet with Jack Kent Cook, he came in there and he says, Mr. Cook, and he gave a list of nine names. Okay. And he's Mr. Cook. These are good coaches, but they have good jobs. Okay. So Jack Kent Cook said to him, and you've been around Mr. Cook. He says, I'm going to get every one of them for you. Okay. Then he turns to Bobby Bethard. Don't come back without him. Okay. So when he gave you the don't come back without him, there was no other question. You walked out of the room and you got him. Bobby got, I think, eight of the nine, which was credit to Bobby. Okay. But here's the thing. The telling thing is one of the NFC coaches who was very prominent at the time made a comment when he looked at that staff. He says, oh boy, they got a hell of a staff there. Okay. So right off the bat, people stood up, and Joe kept that as he lost a coach. He lost Joe Bugel. He replaced him with Jim Hanifin, right. Another Hall of Fame offensive line coach. You know, Dan Henning, you bring in Jerry Rome, who was a great coach, who was a coordinator at the time in Seattle, very successful. So that part, the single most important thing you do is hire people. That was Joe Gibbs. Okay. So the other thing with Joe is his ability to adapt. He won Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, adapted his system in time, came in with a standard NFL offense, and this isn't going to work against Lawrence Taylor. Right. Okay. So he went back to the two tight end offense. So he had tight end covering Lawrence Taylor. So he had a plan to block Lawrence Taylor, the single greatest defensive football player of all time. Guess what? He's in the division twice a year. Right. So he adapted. Okay. And he could coach different personalities. I mean, if you just looked at him, he said he'd never coach Dexter Manley or John Riggins. He coached them both. Okay. He had a way to reach him, and he had a way to get him to conform and to play for him. So the things he did that were great was staff, like you pointed out. Okay. His ability to adapt his offense to the players he had and to coach different personalities. So, and that's why he's in the Hall of Fame in racing. Ability to pick people. Single most important thing you do is hire people.
So when you look at Washington hiring Dan Quinn, what are your thoughts on him?
I think he's an excellent leader. He's a guy that can build a team, get the players to play for him. That's the number one thing you want in a head coach, is the ability to lead. Now, I think when you go back to Atlanta, he made some brilliant hires. I mean, he hired Kyle Shanahan. Yeah. Okay. You know, that seems like a no-brainer. It wasn't a no-brainer at that time. He saw what we all saw in Kyle as a young coach. Okay. And then Kyle brought in some great staff. Dan made a mistake, and he knows it. He let coaches go with Kyle. Right. And that ain't happening again. Okay. So he learned from that. Okay. Because he had some great hit, LaFleur with him, who goes on and becomes the head coach of Green Bay. He wouldn't have done that in retrospect. So he's learned from that. Okay. So I like the hire. I think it's good. I think, he's obviously, hired experienced staff. And I think his job is to manage the staff and evaluate the staff. What you can do is this. These jobs aren't forever now. If somebody's not doing the job, always go back to Bill Cowher. He made a hire one time. It wasn't the right hire. The guy wasn't, working with Cordell Stewart, gelling with him. Bang, going the first year. So look at your staff. It's hard to hire a staff in 1 year. Evaluate at the end of 1 year. You have to make some changes. Make some changes.
With the guy in his second stint as a head coach, what are some things you would look for to see, because obviously he had some success in Atlanta, and you brought up some of the staff changes in Atlanta went down at the end. So what would you look for to see? Is this guy, how could it be different?
Well, I don't think he got as much help from the front office as he should have as time went on there. Okay. So I think that we'll evaluating the staff on paper looks good. Let's see how it works out, how people mesh, with the players. So, he's got an inexperienced defensive coordinator backed up by experience around him, though. Okay, that's what I like there. So, the experienced special teams coach, experienced on the offensive side of the staff with Kingsbury and Anthony Lynn. So, and he's got some good young coaches there, too. So, let's evaluate how the coaches coach and how he manages them, makes decisions on them after the year. But he was a guy that would have gotten jobs in previous years if he didn't take himself out of them. I like the hire. There's no question. I like the hire. Leader, motivator. Okay. Team builder. Has hired a lot of experienced coaches and some good young coaches. So let's see how that works out over the course of the year. And if he has to make adjustments, he'll make the adjustments. Positive hire.
Yeah. And how hard can it be? Like, obviously they haven't won here in a long time. How hard is it to then get a franchise going in that right direction, even if you make some of these correct hires? What has to happen next?
Well, there's a couple of things. When I went to Houston, we did a study, okay, of teams that turn it around in 3 years. You know, so give them 3 years and they'll turn it around. If not, get rid of them. What we did is we did a study of teams that, quote, turn it around. When they, quote, again, turn it around, made the playoffs after 3 years, 12 of their starters were already in place. Hmm. So they only added 10 starters in 3 years. Okay, so think about that now, okay? So are there 12 starters here that will be here in 3 years, okay, that could give you a winning football team? Now, they're not all pros, okay, but they're good players, okay? I don't know if they have that.
Yeah.
Okay, so sometimes it takes more than 3 years on that part there. Turning the culture around, I don't think there was a bad culture with Ron Rivera, so I don't think that's a problem, okay? Ron Rivera, didn't have enough good players at the end, I think, okay? I mean, that's kind of it. And maybe some of his staff decisions, didn't pan out the way he hoped them pan out. Okay. So I think that culture, I don't think that'd be a problem at all. Not at all. Okay. Now he's adding players. I mean, they're tearing it down. They traded Montez Sweat. Okay. That was a big one. Okay. To be honest with you, I wouldn't have traded Montez Sweat. Okay. That I wouldn't have done. I understand Chase Young had injury issues. Okay. Right. I could see where you had to walk away from that one. So now getting the players. Now he's part of the process, okay? But so is the general manager. So is the staff he brings in. So it's going to be all of the above things there to get him enough players. I don't think they have 12 guys now that'll line up and start in 3 years. That's just an impression from the outside in.
Oh, I think you're definitely right on that part. And I think that's where I could take a minute. Then it's like they have money to spend in free agency. We have free agency coming up. How would you approach it if you're rebuilding a situation like this?
I think there's two concepts here. First is the money. I'd flatten the contracts. If you got enough money, you got this money, flatten the contracts. If you want to even front load the contracts in some way, do that so that you can keep money rolling as you go forward. Okay, that's number one. There's some basics. I mean, what I'm saying here is very basic and everyone knows the same things. Sign players going into their second contract. That's your priority. You got a lot of holes. Take the best player available. So those are a couple of concepts there. Your goal to me is come out of free agency with no needs for the draft. Okay. All right. Now, quarterback obviously is a need. Well, they've got a quarterback in Howell, so that's fine. They can go line up and play with him. Is he the ultimate answer? Probably not. Okay. So you don't have to go sign up to me a veteran quarterback in free agency. That'd be one there. So when you get to the end there, when you've taken your A-list players, the guys that you're going to pour money into, and you're going to overpay them because they're not going to come here for less money. That's for sure. Okay. And that's why, a guy like Adam Peters has been around the block, Martin Mayhew, Mari Herney, these guys are experienced guys who know agents. Agent relationships are crucial. There's no discounts, but you got to be in the final three.
Right.
Okay. We were always in the finals every time. Okay. Then it was a question of whether we wanted to pay the money or put the money into somebody else. Okay. So they've got to be in the final three and they have enough experience in that free agency to do that. So to me, flatline or front load contracts to save money, stay on second year contracts, fill all your needs. How do you fill all your needs? Well, if you think Zach Ertz can still play, which they do, you sign 1 year contracts. Okay. What's going to happen is the market will fall off a cliff at some point, and then you'll have the edge in the market. And that's where you can sign guys for not a lot of money, at least so you can line up and play in mini camp anyway. Way to look at it.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think they will be active, and I think they're going to look for, like that. You said the second wave of free agency is where I think a lot of times sharp teams are going to get their value. What are some of the biggest mistakes you've seen made with free agency over the years?
Well, I think that if you look at the batting average in free agency, it's not great. But the draft is only a 1/3 batting average there too. So let's not get concerned with batting averages too much here. And I'm not dismissing the fact that you should just ignore your mistakes. But I think fit. Now, there's two ways to look at fit, okay? Does the guy fit the system? Okay, does the guy fit the system? Okay, and that's crucial. Now, if you're going to be a zone team, okay, then, do you sign a corner that's a great man-to-man guy and pay him a ton of money? I don't know if we need to do that in that situation, okay? You're trying to fit the system, not have headlines. However, Ron Wolf, Hall of Fame general manager, he's in the Hall of Fame, but he went 0-26 in Tampa Bay. And he wrote this on his board in Green Bay. I went 0-26, the guys that fit the system. So the thing you have to fight from the front office is I need this guy because he knows the system. Okay. So there's a balance in there. When Rex Ryan, I think, went into the Jet job, if I'm not mistaken, he brought guys in from Baltimore who knew the system and knew the locker room, okay? But they were the right guys, okay? George Allen, third most winningest coach in the history of the National Football League during the regular season. I think there's only three guys that won 70% of the games in the regular season. He was a master at guys that fit the system, okay? He rebuilt the Redskins in, 71 overnight with defensive veterans, and bang, that's the one's a team that couldn't defend anybody to one of the best defenses in the league over the next couple of years. Okay. But he is a master at it. So as a general manager, you're going to have coaches coming to you and boy, this guy knows the system, or the guy probably can't play anymore. That's different. Right. So the Rex Ryan, George Allen formula worked right. Okay. So you got to be careful about guys that know the system, but guys that fit it, okay, we're not talking about the X's and O's. A man-to-man corner, okay? If you're a man, can this guy play man? If the guy can't play man, you're signing the wrong guy.
Right.
You're not trying to win the headlines. So that's where the general manager and personnel staff have to know what they're doing, and they have an experienced staff, so I'm confident about that. Then it's meshing with the coach. This is where Dan Quinn's experience will come in, okay? But there's a balance in there of fit the system, or does this guy just know the system? Okay, so you have to balance that in there. There's nothing wrong with being aggressive. Joe Gibbs, second time around, figured it out. They built a playoff team by signing five or six guys who are immediate starters. So you have that potential. But are people going to come here? Okay, the money is important, but you're going to overpay some of them. And the other thing is, this is why front load it and flat the contract, because you're going to have some guys. As a general manager, when you're rebuilding a team, I know in Houston, nobody wants to come to an expansion team. Are you kidding me? Okay. You're not going to win there for a long time. So you overpay them. But you understand you're going to have some contracts that aren't going to be good that you work yourself out of over a period of time. The key there is this. The general manager controls the salary cap, not the negotiator, not the analytics guy. The head coach and the general manager control the cap because they understand how to get out of the mess that they're going to create. At times with a bad contract, they have no choice but doing.
And then one of the things that we've heard big time is collaboration. And again, you worked with Joe, who seemed to be very collaborative. You guys had that. What's the key to making that work between a GM and a coach?
I think first of all, vision from the head coach. Keep it simple, stupid. Okay. Joe Gibbs, quarterback, arm strength was huge to him. Toughness, intelligence. Okay, that's why you take Mark Rippon in the sixth round, because it's a sixth round pick. Okay, all right. Bill Cowher. Okay, another Hall of Fame coach. Houston, we're going 34 defense. Dom Capers knew it. I didn't. Okay. So I wanted to learn a 34 defense. So I went right to Pittsburgh. It was the only team running 34 defense in the year 2000. Okay. And we played 2002. So I met with Bill Cowher, met with Kevin Colbert, respected them both. And I go to Cowher. I says, okay, what do you need an outside linebacker? Pass rusher. How big? Pass rusher. How fast? Pass rusher. I got it. James Harrison, the guy they had was 5'11". Now they cut him three or four times. Okay. So exactly. They drafted this guy to do it. But if you were in the Parcells system, there's a certain height and weight and I guess speed that what that guy had to look like. Okay. So it's kind of understanding that part of it. Have a clear picture for your scouts that is simplistic that they can follow. That's number one. Gibbs always had that. He was great at that. Okay. And the offensive line, Joe Bugle, knock him off the ball. Richie Pettibone, we got to have speed and man-to-man at the cornerback position. Safety, the guy got to be a Phi Beta Kappa to call the defense. That's fine. Right. We get it, okay? Now, we're going to bring a guy in who's smart, all right? We understand that. So that's the vision that you have to lay. That starts the collaboration. The general manager's job is to make sure the scouts understand that, okay? However you get there. We would have the position coaches come in and talk about it. We'd have the scouts travel with the position coaches, okay? We'd look at tape with the coaches, okay? So that's how we collaborated, okay? And ultimately, we know somebody's got to make the decision. In the Redskin or Washington system, the head coach made the decision on the roster. The general manager made the decision on the draft. Everything else was mutual, okay? All right, but there was collaboration. Our coaches went on the road with us as scouts to see the players. We looked at tape together. Free agency, we sat down and looked at tape together. We did that certainly in Houston. In Washington, we did it too. Probably not as much, but that depended on the coaching staff that we're involved with, okay? So that's what we mean by collaboration, okay? The draft room, Bobby Beathard did this. Everybody was in the draft room, all the scouts, even the young guys. There was no behind-the-door closed meetings. I ran it the same way. Why? Your young guys get to learn. Everybody sees how the decision is made. Everybody understands at the end of the day, somebody's going to make that decision. But the thing is, everybody has something to add to it. Every coach has something to add to it, his position, the coordinator, and obviously the head coach. So that's collaboration.
So last topic, quarterbacks in the draft, because that's the big thing here, number two pick, as you know. How do you go about evaluating quarterback in college, and what are some of the separators for you when you're looking at it?
Well, let's go back to this is when I was working in television. Sam Arnold, I did a poll, 28, 29 teams of the decision makers now. Okay. 25 had Darnold rated number one, I think. Okay. That didn't work out, and I did it. Cleveland took Baker Mayfield. All of a sudden, Baker Mayfield's a playoff quarterback this year. How did that happen? Okay. Look at the coaching, the system, et cetera. So there's going to be more mistakes than correct decisions. So it's a hard decision to make, okay? It really is a hard decision to make, okay? All right, let's start with what's our vision? What are we looking for, okay? Can we sit there, and this is hard to do because we're dealing with humans. It's humans evaluating humans, right. Okay? And you can do all the analytics you want, and analytics are important, you know? A chart where the quarterback gets his completions, okay, percentages. That's as old as I did. I did that when I was coaching high school. Okay. That's a long time ago now. Okay. So nobody invented that. Your technology is better, but nobody invented that stuff. Okay. So is this guy completion percentage behind the line of scrimmage? Is it 5 yards downfield? Can this guy throw the deep ball? Okay. Things like that. So the point there is this. Okay. What's your vision? What are you looking for? You know, Bill Walsh, accuracy, quickness of decision. Belichick, quickness of decision. Okay. So figure out what's the most important thing. Gibbs, big arm, toughness, intelligence, crucial to him. If you didn't have those three things, it wasn't going to work. Okay. Everybody says, what about mobility? Well, of course you want mobility. Okay. But you're not going to get everything. Right. So to me, I think intelligence is important, but we can vary intelligence. This is where it's hard right now for the general manager, for Adam Peters. Okay. And Martin Mayo, Marty Herney, the triumvirate, and everybody else involved. Okay. We don't know Cliff Kingsbury. That's not a negative. We haven't been with him. We don't know how he's, what is his, when he says intelligence, what does he mean? Joe Gibbs could vary it with the talent and the system of the guys. Okay. Now, you still wanted to aim for a high level, but he adjusted to his different quarterbacks. He won with four different quarterbacks, Jay Schrader being the fourth one. Okay. So learning your coaches, Al Davis used to say the most important thing you got to do is learn your coaches. That's a challenge in your first draft, especially now when you got a quarterback. Okay. So when we go through this, all right, we're going to have, what are the most important things? We're going to look at the tape together. Okay. In a group. So, and that should start in the off season right now as they are evaluating Howell. Okay, the pro scout should be in there learning what the coaches look like. And if your general manager got, he's in five different directions. So he's going to have to steal some of that time. So I'm learning my quarterback and my offensive coordinator people, evaluating the people we have, evaluating and sitting in there as they go through the spring, because I'm learning them. Okay. That's crucial. All right. So what we're looking for, basically what you want is intelligence. You'd like mobility, but it's not essential. But if he doesn't have mobility, he's got to have decision-making and accuracy. Okay. Some guys couldn't say, I always said about Tim Tebow, if he learned to dump the ball off, he'd probably still be playing. I didn't think he could see well at the second level. That was my evaluation of him. That was a problem for him. Okay. So those are the things there. To keep it simple, let's get on the same page. There's a learning curve for both the personnel side and the coaching side with each other. Okay. So you're going to marry that film and you're going to keep going and going and going at it. Okay. Then you need some kind of psychological evaluation to mesh with what you're talking about. And the owner, be prepared for it not to be right, because most of them aren't right when you go high. And you know what? This owner's been around. He's going to know, hey, I'm sure he's had some swings and misses with the Philadelphia and the Jersey Devils, but he knows you just keep swinging. That's all there is to it. So
that's what I was going to say. When you don't have a quarterback, then you've got to keep trying for it. Because there's some people like, oh, trade back, get more picks, build around Sam. But to me, you've got to go for this guy, correct? If you have the second pick.
It's hard not to. But that's where you can make mistakes where you force it. Okay? But it's hard not to. But I think there's enough possibilities, okay, where they can that they can take somebody and hopefully design a system with a guy successful along with patience. You know? The quarterback, I don't know these quarterbacks that well, but I'm looking at Carolina. I talk to people, okay? They want to make them successful. Build an offensive line, my gosh.
Right.
I'm not saying they didn't try it, but if you don't fix that one, a guy's got no chance.
Right.
And they know that. So it's easier said than done.
Well, that's what I can say. Last thing is, and how do you make sure when you get that guy in here, what are the keys to helping that quarterback develop and grow? It is not, as you know, it is not easy.
There's a two schools of thought. One, you play them right away, and two, you don't play them right away. Okay. In Houston, we didn't want to play David Carr right away. And we built on paper a hell of an offensive line. The problem is our both tackles never played for us, really. They were injury prone. They passed all the physicals. And I'm not blaming the doctors. Pacelli, Hall of Famer, never played for us. Younger right tackle, Ryan Young, was a good player, and he was hurt. And we could never get the tackle position right from there. Our inside three were always pretty good. So that's the thing there is do you play the guy right away or do you take time? You don't have the luxury of Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay plan or Jordan Love, because the next coaching staff will be there when they get ready to play that way. Perfectly, you'd like to be able to start the veteran, bring the guy along like with Kurt Warner and you did with Eli Manning in New York. That's what you'd like to be able to do. So you're going to work like hell to get that offensive line better. No question about that. And it's going to take you time to build up people around them. They've got some good pieces around them. If they can piece together an offensive line in one off season, it doesn't happen often, but it has happened on occasion. So we wish them luck in that area. They know what they have to do. Are there going to be enough groceries in Parcells' term to buy at the store when it comes time to do it?
If you have a quarterback, and just in general, because like Jaden Daniels, the guy everybody's looking at, and I think he's very intriguing, he also takes a lot of hits. Is that easy to get out of a player? That mindset, is it easy to change?
You analyze why he's taking hits. Is he holding the ball? Is it the system that's causing him to do that? You got to be careful about changing the system. Okay, so it's the system he's not succeeding at. Okay, that you have to really it gets down to, is it the mental part of it or is it the system? That's hard to evaluate. Okay. You'll all see the same thing on tape. He's holding the ball. Why is he holding the ball? And that's where the coach has to come in, but the GM's got to be at his side to understand. And you know, the GM, he's not a coach, but they've been around a lot of football now. Okay. They've been around a lot of coaches. So they understand coaching. Okay. So you learn football as a general manager by sitting and listening. I sat with Gibbs for 11 years on Monday. I got a hell of an education on football. Yeah.
And even with like a guy like Daniels, because he's going to run the ball, right? He's going to run downfield and take big hits. He's not going to avoid them. Is that mindset easy or difficult to change when you're a running quarterback? You want to get downfield, but you're not getting down. You're taking on hits versus getting out of bounds or something. Is that an easy?
It gets changed. You've seen enough quarterbacks to do that. It gets changed. Okay. So, but obviously it has to be changed. But running quarterbacks are part of the game right now. The college offenses are in the pros, which was a natural thing that was going to happen. But I've seen them learn it. Okay. I've seen them learn it. So.
Charlie, I appreciate your time. Always, always, always enjoy talking to you and your wisdom, and thanks for sharing it.
Well, let me say this about you. I remember you, the Northern Virginia Sun.
Journal. Yeah.
The Journal. Is that what it was called?
Yeah, Northern
Virginia Journal. Okay. Yeah. And I have this young kid. I'd always get a message from the who's John Keim, Northern Virginia Journal. Oh, I know that paper. Okay. So I've seen it, but I don't know if I've ever read it. Yeah. But you know, your career is a model for all young people who want to go in. You hustled your butt off. You never stopped working. You advanced in your career. You were polite, but you were always learning. Okay. And that's why you're one of the best in the game. So that's why it was easy to say yes to this interview. So
well, Charlie, I really appreciate that. Thank you very much, man. Good talking to you.
All right. Same here now. Bye now.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to Charlie for joining me. And thank you, as always, for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed that one. I always like talking to Charlie. He has really good insight. So I'll be back on Monday with Bram Weinstein, the voice of the Commanders, as we look ahead to free agency. I'll talk to you next time.